Today, more evidence that inflation is not playing the game. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I've noticed post covering finance and property news. Well, Wall Street's main indices closed lower on Thursday after a US Treasury auction sent bond yields higher, while investors were already digesting data that showed consumer prices rose more than anticipated in September. After the data, the S&P 500 spent the morning zigzagging between red and green, but it turned decisively lower after a 1 p.m. auction of 30-year US Treasuries met weak demand. The biggest overhang in the market the last 2 months has been the rise in interest rates. Any meaningful move one way or the other on any given day is going to have an impact on equities, said Michael James, the Managing Director of Equity Trading at Wedbush. After Thursday's auction, the magnitude of the move higher in rates caused a significant downturn dislocation in equities across the board, James added. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.51% to 33,631. The S&P 500 lost 0.62% to 4,349. The Nasdaq Composite dropped 0.63% to 13,574. Federal Reserve officials throughout this year have been pinning their hopes for falling inflation in part on an expected easing of US housing price increases that would flow from their sharp interest rate hikes. And so far, that data have largely followed suit, but that changed in September when US central bank officials themselves sensed that progress on housing inflation might have stalled. Data released on Thursday confirmed a jump in shelter prices that, for a month at least, bucked the trend. And US markets on Thursday initially shrugged off a consumer price index report that topped expectations. Traders instead focused on the core annual inflation rate, which rose 4.1% in September. That's the slowest pace in 2 years. But within the detail, there were questions. And then that 30-year US bond auction did not go well. In fact, the 30-year Treasury yield rose by as much as 19 basis points and was 16 basis points higher on the day in late trading. That's the biggest increase since the market turmoil unleashed by the onset of the pandemic. And while at 4.86%, it's still nearly 20 basis points below multi-year highs reached last week, the surge stoked fears of new milestones, including a yield of 5% on 10-year yields. The 30-year auction appears to have further destabilized sentiment, TD Securities said in a note. Worries about a lack of demand for treasuries could allow rates to retest recent highs, with tens potentially making a run to the 5% mark, last seen in 2007. And by the way, Federal Reserve Bank of Boston President Susan Collins said that if the recent run-up in Treasury yields is sustained, it could lessen the need for further interest rate increases from the central bank. The rise in long-term yields implies some tightening of financial conditions, Collins said on Thursday in remarks prepared for a community banking conference hosted by the Boston Fed. If it persists, it will likely reduce the need for further monetary policy tightening in the near term. Of course, federal officials left interest rates steady last month and agreed that policy should remain restrictive for some time. Policymakers noted that the risks of over-tightening now had to be balanced against keeping inflation on a downward path towards 2%, according to the minutes of the September meeting that were released on Wednesday. And Collins, by the way, who does not vote in monetary policy decisions this year, said a key question for policymakers is whether the decline seen in inflation will continue. Today's CPI release is a reminder that restoring price stability will take time, she said. So US consumer prices advanced at a brisk pace for a second month, reinforcing the Federal Reserve's intent to keep interest rates high to bring down inflation. Expectations ahead of Thursday's publications of consumer price indices for September were for a continued clear reduction that would eliminate the last concerns that the Federal Reserve would be forced to raise interest rates once more. But in the event, the market responded as though it had received a really, really nasty shock, with bond yields surging higher while stocks sold off. An imminent Fed hike still looks unlikely, but eventually many in the markets were hoping that any change would be completely extinguished. Not so the case. The so-called core consumer price index, which excludes food and energy costs, increased 0.3% in September, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics data. Economists favor the core gauge as a better indicator of underlying inflation than the overall CPI, and that measure climbed 0.4%, boosted by energy costs. The advance reflected increases in housing costs, car insurance, and recreational services like tickets for sporting events. Used cars fell by the most since earlier this year, and motor vehicle parts declined by the most on record. The numbers, though, were dominated by housing costs. Shelter inflation on a year-on-year basis is still above 7%. All of the other components of the CPI, if you aggregate them together as an index, came in at around 2%, which of course is the Fed's target. Now, it's also widely known that shelter inflation tends to be lagged, as it includes all leases currently in force rather than only those that were signed in September. So the picture of a problem that was now essentially dominated by a lagging measure of the housing market appears to be confirmed. As is now widely understood, the official data doesn't catch up with the latest trends because they look at all leases in effect rather than only the most recent. That's a methodology that makes sense for setting cost of living adjustments for benefit payments, but doesn't give an up-to-date take on price pressures. Privately maintained rental indices signal that shelter inflation is going to rise well in advance, and they've now been signaling a forthcoming fall for a while. That's illustrated, for example, by the Oxford Economics using data from Zillow. And worse, the Zillow numbers are beginning to tick up a little more. Despite everything that's been thrown at it in terms of higher mortgage rates, there is still some life in the property market. As Gerard McDonnell of 22V Research put it, the gap between these lagging government measures of average rent and the private sector measures of marginal rent has narrowed quite a bit over the past several months, both in level and rate of change terms. That makes the government data less irrelevant, in his words. And he adds, it makes sense to discount them as lagging and virtually fated to slow, but our confidence in that dismissal is somewhat less than it has been. That said, shelter prices, which make up about a third of the overall CPI index, accounted for over half of the increase in the monthly advance and were boosted by the biggest jump in hotel stays in 2 years. A key measure of housing costs accelerated at the fastest pace since February, and looking ahead, a sustained moderationist category will be essential for the downward trend of core inflation to continue. Excluding housing and energy, services prices climbed 0.6% from August. That's the most in a year. And while Fed Chair Jerome Powell and his colleagues have stressed the importance of looking at such a metric when assessing the nation's inflation trajectory, they compute it based on a separate rate index. That measure, known as the Personal Consumption Expenditure Price Index, is compiled with data from the CPI report, as well as the Producer Price Index, which, by the way, also rose by more than forecast last month, due in part to gas prices. Unlike services, goods prices continue to decelerate. So-called core goods prices, which excludes food and energy commodities, fell 0.4%, matching the biggest drop since early in the pandemic, according to the CPI data. And on an annual basis, they were little changed. But households are still struggling with high costs for many essentials. Prices for medical care services rose by the most this year, including a big jump in hospital stays. Electricity costs also advanced by the most in 2023, and prices at the pump continue to rise. That said, grocery inflation did slow to a three-month low, and apparel prices fell by the most since May 2020, and piped gas also declined. Clothing and furniture are among the few bright spots for households, actually. However, Americans are still facing higher prices for most necessities, including housing and energy. And wage growth is no longer keeping up with inflation. Though a robust job market is offering many consumers the power to keep spending, some are feeling the pinch as purchasing power fades. In fact, 78% of Americans are considered vulnerable spenders, meaning that they're now being very cautious about their outlays, according to NIQ data. That's an increase from 74% in 2022, as prices for basics like fuel and food weigh on shoppers. And many people are relying on credit cards to make ends meet and buying online using buy now, pay later services. And that's going to hit a record high this holiday season. Retailers, aware of the uncertain financial outlook, have increasingly turned to promotions in order to attract buyers. And recent inflation data underscored how a strong labour market is underpinning consumer demand, which risks keeping price pressures above the Fed's target. At the meeting last month, a majority of officials saw a need for at least one more rate hike this year, and they will possibly maintain that bias despite the recent surge in bond yields if inflation doesn't cool further. The clearest reason for disquiet comes from the super core measure that Fed Chair Jerome Powell has emphasized in recent months, services excluding shelter. This category is heavily led by wage inflation, as labor is a large share of costs for such businesses. If the tight labor market was causing price pressure, then this is where it would be. And in this context, the fact that September saw the highest month-on-month increase in the super core since September last year is very, very disappointing. Now, the more sophisticated statistical measures operated by different research groups within the Fed show some clear improvements, however. The trimmed mean, compiled by the Cleveland Fed, which excludes the biggest outliers and takes the average of the rest, has dropped to 4.29%, still too high for the Fed to consider its job done, but emphatic progress after this number had peaked above 7%. The Atlanta's Fed sticky price CPI, which measures inflation for products whose prices take a long time to change and cannot easily be reduced, also improved to a level that is at least approaching something comfortable for the Fed at 5.07%. And once shelter excluded, sticky core price inflation even dipped below 3%, which is of course the upper end of the Fed's target range. So it's hard to say that any of the numbers under the hood were bad enough to spark that sell-off that I discussed. So we have to come back to the Treasury auction. Perhaps the reason was that the $20 billion 30-year Treasury auction went off at the highest rate since 2007 at 1 p.m. in New York on Thursday. And within minutes, the S&P 500 index tumbled, falling by as much as 1.2% before regaining its footing. And the volatility index, known as the VIX, or Wall Street's fear index, spiked above 17. And the sell-off in the small-cap Russell 2000 index accelerated, pushing it to its lowest close in months. So sentiment reversed after the 30-year Treasury auction, which drew weak demand and weighed heavily on the broader market sentiment. Swap contracts linked to future interest rate decisions pushed the odds of another quarter point hike back to about 50%, up from about 30% as Wednesday. It's really starting to sink in that the Fed will keep rates higher for longer, Young Yu Ma, Chief Investment Officer at BMO Wealth Management, said. Investors are buying the idea that short-term rates have peaked, but investors are in a state of shock and disbelief that longer-term rates continue to rise. If those longer-term rates continue to move higher, that will be a source of concern for stocks. So, as some would say, the game's afoot. But you have to think that inflation will be higher for longer, and therefore rates will be higher for longer. And that, of course, is going to put downward pressure on stock markets in the weeks ahead. And remember, folks, October tends to be a wobbly month. at the best of times.
Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.